Oh, you know what? I did have one last concept that I, you know what, since this is a heavy one anyways, might as well throw it in there and speak on it too. So as we talk about, you know, all these male role models going down, I gotta talk about my fears too. And I really do think whatever this, I just wanted to be cared for. I wanted to be cared for by, an attractive woman that everybody wanted, because I thought that's what it was. I thought that's what I wanted. I thought, because it's something I never really felt like I was cared for. And I think it's a father and a mother issue. And I think I'm starting to understand the trauma from both in the sense, or not the trauma, but just the cause and effect on my mentality and why I like the things I like and why I do the things I do. It's yikes. You know, I think about how much respect and how much admiration I have for my mom. And I think that's great, because as I just mentioned earlier, I don't have any female role models other than my mom. So I think it's an amazing thing that if I do have one, it is my mom, because she came to this country and fucking started a business. You know, that's amazing. You know, that's inspirational. You know, she went to school, she learned a new language, she raised a family. You know, that's inspirational. So yeah, dope. But at the same time, it came at a cost. What cost was that to me? It was, I didn't have that. I had my mother, but I didn't have a mother, because she was always at work. She was up and left before I woke up. She came home after I went to bed. And she did this my whole life, grinding for us to be okay now. And I think it, because of that, so one, I don't have my, you know, I was already fucked up and mentally from not having a father, and now I don't get the affection I don't get the love and affection I'm looking for from my mom. Although I know she wants to give it to me, I know she can't, and it's just not there. And it's something that I didn't know until later. I couldn't really understand until later. And so now I look for that attention in women. You know, I want to be loved by women. And it becomes women become a sense of vice to me. And if they don't want me, it's like the more I'm attracted to, you know, it's like, wow, like, damn, like she really doesn't like me. It was like, well, she just doesn't know. She just doesn't know how, you know, how well intentioned I am. And so then I would get, I guess, borderline obsessive with the idea of quote unquote winning them over, when that's not the right mentality either. And this is so important. It was just the other day I was talking to a really good friend of mine, and she's very pretty. I'm attracted to her, but she's just a really good friend, and she's a genuine soul, and I never want to lose that connection, because I really value my friendships. If you've made it in my circle, if you're someone that I consider to be a friend, then I value, you have no idea how much I value you. So anyways, she had this complicated relationship with my best friend. And so I got a rule, you know, I got a rule that I've, for the most part, have done pretty fucking good of maintaining. And that's if my boy's involved, I'm not going to get involved no matter what, because the only fight I've ever been in with another man has been over a girl. And we've no shit fought. Like, that was the only fight I've been in. Like, for real, for real. Now, did I beat his ass? Yeah. Cause I'm Poppy, you know? And it's so fucked up and funny that I just recently saw him. And that was in high school. That was in junior high. And I never talked to him again or really seen him or noticed him until probably a week ago. So that was funny. He's living. Yeah, he was living with a friend, you know, one of my best friends. And he saw me and I saw him and we held that eye contact. And then he came up for cake cause we were celebrating a birthday, and I felt kind of bad because I saw his chipper mentality when he came up. And then as soon as he saw me, it was like he died and he just got so quiet and left. And I felt so bad. I was like, cause in my head, I'm like, God, dog, that was in junior high. Like, come on, man. Like, get your cake, you know? But it's because of that experience that I had that I was like, oh, okay, girls, don't fight over girls. There's so many other girls. Like, just pick another one. You know, like, oh yeah, I don't care if you liked her. Guess what? I promise you, you're going to like another girl that your boy never had feelings for. And guess what? That's the answer. Don't fuck around with your friend's girl. But so we had met up, right? We had met up. I had just gone to Texas. We had met up, and I told my boy, I was like, hey, like, cause I mock him a little bit. Cause I try to see, cause he really told, cause I asked him every time just to get a sense of how, if they are over a person or if they're not, I'm like, hey, are you going to get mad if like me and homegirl hooked up? And he was like, nope. Don't care. And I'm like, damn, for real? He was like, no, like I told you. And I thought he was a very strange guy because he doesn't like have this desire to fuck. Like he doesn't like, yeah, he fucks, but like there's nothing in him that's chasing it at all. Like he can't even talk to girls. Like he I mean, he can, but he just doesn't, you know? And I thought that was very not like a lot of men that I know. But I thought it was cool. And I was like, damn, like, you just don't care about fucking or talking to girls or this or that or the third. And he's, nope. And so I was playing with him just to see. And he said that, yeah, he's like, well, he's like, she's not my girlfriend. We're not together. I mean, you do whatever you feel is right. And I'm like, well, shit. I was never going to, but it was just, wow, you know, like, wow, I think I believe him. And then I kind of thought about it because I was like, well, she is pretty and I do like her. So, I mean, it only makes sense that, you know, that at least I shoot my shot. But in the back of my head, I just knew that I wasn't, but I thought about it. And so we met up, we had a great time. We spent like 4 or 5 hours together and it just flew by, you know? And because I've never had someone ask for about girls and everything. I'm telling you, I read these books and I know, or at least from some of these books, and an indicator of interest is when someone who is attracted to you, when they look at you, their eyes dilate as if they're like if they're on drugs. It's almost like a drug in itself is to be enamored, right? So I'm looking at her and I see her eyes dilated. And so I'm cocky because I'm like, hey, she want Big Poppy.
you know?
And so now I'm getting flirty and I'm just in my element. I'm in my zone because I'm just confident, you know? I'm like, it's there if I want it. And that's kind of fucked up too. But that was just my mentality. But I was like, hey, but you know, she's a nice person and I don't want to ruin this. So it was, and she said, and that was just my mentality of that reality. And so at the end of the night, we, you know, we hugged and we had a long hug and I was holding it. Cause I was debating. I was like, yo, should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? And I was like, you know what? Nah, don't do it. Just enjoy this moment, blah, blah, blah. Like, so what if you could have, does it really matter? And another thing is like, this homegirl's a virgin, you know? And it's like, is that, I don't know. It's just like so much pressure. It's like, I don't want that. I just don't want to be, I want to be the first, you know, especially but at the same time it's like, I do, but I don't, whatever. The point is I didn't act on it. Right. And, just a couple days later, we were talking about it and I was just curious, like, it was just on my mind. Was that really reality or was that just the narrative I told myself? And so we had the funniest conversation and we were talking about, we talked about it and I was like, Hey, if I had shot my shot, like, would you have been down? And she was like, and we laughed so hard because she was like, I thought you were going to, and I did not want you to, but I didn't know. And I was like, no fucking way. I thought you wanted to, and I was deciding I didn't want to. And it was just so funny that in that moment between us, when we were having such a good time and there was like chemistry with us, that we were having these feelings, these same feelings about each other, that like, well, we think each other is interested, but we're not interested. It was the funniest ironic dance. And she was telling me about later when we had that conversation, she was telling me about how she went on a date with this guy and how how this guy was a little older and he was a little overbearing at the first date, sharing too much information and just felt very, there, it was just a lot to process over the first one. And that's what she was telling me, but she was giving me this notion as if she wasn't interested in him. But then she was saying that she might go out with him again, but she doesn't know. And she just blah, blah, blah. And she talked to her girlfriends about him. And then they discussed if he had kissed her, if she would have swerved or kissed him back. And I thought that was a very, very interesting conversation, because I never thought about that. I never thought about, because obviously I've tried to kiss some girls and they swerved my ass. Obviously, you talk to any guy, and if they're being honest, sometimes that happens. You know, you shoot your shot, and that's it. You know, you're like, oh damn, I feel like an idiot, but okay, I tried. And that's what happens. So she says she would have swerved. And then I talked to her, and cause again, so she was with, you know, my really good friend, and she herself is also an anomaly, just like my friend, because she's a 25-year-old virgin. That's harder to come by. That's less common. So I was asking her about her first kisses and how her experience about kissing was. And I told her how it wasn't until I watched Hitch that I realized that I was kissing the wrong way, because I was going in 110%. And it wasn't until I watched Hitch and the scene in which, you know, Will Smith teaches the other guy how to kiss. And he says, this is how you do it. You go in 90. And then you wait to see if the girl comes in 10. And up until that point, when I watched Hitch, when I was a teenager, or yeah, I think it was a teenager, I had gone 110%, Like I was, all I saw was tunnel vision, and all I knew was I needed to land my lips on her lips. Like that was just what I saw that it was, you know, black and white, my lips on her lips. Yep. We kissed. And so when I would go in, it's almost like a fucking dive bomb to their lips. So I'm sorry, girls, but I learned, hey, you do the 90 and you wait for the 10. You wait for the reciprocation. And I asked her how her experience was with, you know, my best friend. And she told me that she was so irritated because he never made the first move. And by the time that she made the first move, she asked why he never made the move. He laughed and said, ha ha, I never make the first move. And that irritated her so much. But he never made the first move because he never knew. You know, he never knew if she was really in her or not. And so he just was decided, hey, if she's into me, she'll do something. And I'm like, damn. And then I talked to my other good friend who's also very handsome. And when we go out, like all the pussy that I've gotten in my life, I've clocked in for. Like it's a job. Like I've worked for the pussy. Like I put in the time, the hours, the conversations, the support to get the benefit of their sweet, beautiful fucking pussy, you know? Cause that's all, at the end of the day, that's what men want, right? They want a woman and they want that beautiful fucking connection. And I've clocked in for it. You know, I've worked overtime for the pussy. You know, I've been working Big Sean 10 to 10 like a Mexican for the pussy, you know, because that's just the hand that I was dealt. I'm not, and I've said this before, I'm a 6 in America. I'm a 8 in Mexico, and I'm a fucking dime piece in the Philippines. It just depends on what the standard of beauty is around you, okay? And so I know that I get beautiful fucking girls when they can hear my perspective, when they hear my mind. But if we're going based on looks, dog, it's 1:45. The lights come on at the middle of the night. I'm telling you, the girls are walking away from me because I'm not it. I'm not what they're looking for. So I'm talking to my friend who's this handsome guy who literally I go out with him or I've gone out with him and I've literally seen girls gawk over this guy as soon as he walks in. This guy is a beautiful black man built fucking and he's such an amazing person and funny. And so girls flock him. Girls come to him all the time. And I'm like, yo, that is not my life. But it was that conversation with my friend was so interesting because I was like, oh my God, like, or with both of these friends, I was like, oh my God, like so many guys don't chase and they don't force anything. And it just made me so proud because one of my biggest fears and one of my biggest, darkest mistakes was one time when I was fucked up, blacked out in high school. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you for sure. The story was I almost took advantage of a girl and it tore me apart. And I should have learned from that to not get to that point, right? But luckily other people were there and it hopefully never happened. I don't know, and I feel terrible about it, but what can I do? You know, I was a kid. I made a mistake. I was hurt. I had just been broken up with. I was hurt. I was looking for affection from a woman who didn't want to give it to me, and I fucked up. And I feel terrible about it. But I try to be better. But the biggest fear in my head is knowing that I'm capable of it. And that's what scares me so fucking much, is that I'm capable of it. I'm capable of it. But I say this because I'm also very, very, very proud of myself, of just how far I have come you know, in this world where we're starting to lose how to communicate, you know, physically with the opposite sex, you know, like my whole fucking military career was just a gross, disgusting venture but just this gross relationship with, well, not my whole career, but I'd say the whole beginning of my military career was this gross relationship around women. And I'm so proud of just the way I handled my recent affair, my recent last interest affair with this girl, because it was so easy. You know, technology makes it so easy to just swipe left or right, meet people and just fuck, right? But that's not genuine. That's not genuine. And you can't find that connection you're looking for in random people. But you don't know that until you've made your own mistakes, you know? And I'm just thinking about how much I fear of just how dangerous and terrible of a person I could be when I'm fucked up, which is another reason why I know I have a fucking drinking problem. And I felt that last night when I had this episode. Had I had a barrel and a gun, I promise you I might have ended my life that night, because it just felt so hopeless. I felt so hopeless in this world that means everything and nothing. So it was very easy to have that disgusting relationship with women. And then also these other countries, sex is seen as different things. You know, prostitution isn't frowned upon, isn't illegal in different areas, you know, and I'll admit it. I've been involved in it, and I'm looking back at it. I'm not proud, but I think about the lessons and who the leaders I let into my ears mold my decision. I remember in boot camp or you know, and it pains me. Someone that I looked up to so much, probably the most, my biggest male role model was my senior drill instructor, you know, someone who slayed the fuck out of us, but wanted nothing but the best for us in boot camp, who told me that I should have been the leader of the boot camp, but just didn't make me the leader because I was too fucking fat. He said, I can't have a fat guide. Guide is the leader of the boot camp. Told me, hey, you'd be the guide, but you're fucking too fat. You know, someone that saw something in me and motivated me to be the best version I could be. He would tell us his stories. We would have senior drill instructor time called, you know, daddy time, and it's fucked up, but it was just funny. You know, it's funny that, and he would tell us his stories, and we talk about leadership and this, that, and the third. And then he talk about how he got away with so much things and how he was lucky. And he would always say, I was lucky. You will not be. I was lucky. You will not be. As he tells us these stories of his mistakes and his journey and, you know, his experiences and molding the next generation of Marines, right? But there's also the story of Okinawa. And Okinawa is where, you know, Marines have always been in Japan. And how, you know, his experiences with, like, it's just a Marine thing to do to have one of those prostitution experiences there. And I partook because I thought it was a part of becoming, experiencing the full range of that experience of the experience of being a Marine. Because you hear the stories and you hear Marines doing it before and just how, you know, that's just what it is. And when you're in different countries, and and I look back and I know it's a mistake, but I only know that from firsthand personal regrets. But at the same time, I've also had that experience where I'm going into one of these prostitution salons and I'm fucked up. I'm getting pulled in by Mama-san, who's the mother of all the whorehouse, pulling guys from the streets and just dragging them in. I tried pulling away and she just drags me in, you know? Drags me in, and you guys might not believe it, and you're like, oh, you're trying to take it away, but no, I'm fucked up. I'm walking the streets of Tokyo, and this grandma fucking pulls me in and shows me a whole bunch of women and tells me that they want to, you know, give me a blowjob or give me a hand job, and I got money. And I've felt the stories, and I want to be part of this brotherhood. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I fell victim to it. And I'll tell you this. One of the most beautiful experiences I've had with sex was in one of those whorehouses. It was with this Japanese lady that she was around my age. And I couldn't understand her. And she couldn't understand me. But we were giggly. We were laughing, you know, we were smiling, we had fun, you know. I was trying to speak my broken Japanese with her, and she was speaking her broken English with me, and we communicated. And that night, I only paid for a hand job and a massage. A happy ending. I paid for a massage. And that night, I had one of the best experiences of sex I've ever had in my life. One where our bodies communicated more than our mouths did. One where we felt each other's presence and we felt alive. You know, she got on top of me and we just had an amazing night together. And that came from a place where prostitution happens. And so how do you have these discussions? How do you make sense of these experiences? You know? Yeah, prostitution is terrible. Sex slavery is fucking terrible. But at the same time, you know, sometimes there's connection in these terrible places. There's human connection. And it all shitty. I always paid them well because sometimes that's just what they would rather do to earn the money. That's another narrative. And when you're in a country where it's legal, how can you tell? How can you tell who doesn't want to be there and who wants to be there? I don't know, but it's that thought that just makes me hope that I wasn't part of the problem, although I know fundamentally I am. But I say all of this because I'm scared of the man that I could be. I'm scared of how easily it is to manipulate women. I'm scared. I'm probably one of the only people I know that is friends with all of their flings that they've had in the past, because I really do care about their intellect and I appreciate their conversations and I have genuine connections with them. But it's easy for them to feel some type of way towards me. And maybe that's fucked up too. Maybe they don't. Maybe I'm just a piece of ass for them too, which I hope. I say this because I'm just, there's growth. I'm 25. I've experienced a lot of things that I underestimated didn't matter. I was born in Mexico. I was raised here in Illinois, in the Midwest, in a small town around a predominantly large white community. I had a burning desire to be a part of the community, but never felt a part of the community because I was different. I neglected my culture to fit in. I neglected who I was to fit in. I have a stepfather who's 80 years old. I have a mother who's 50 years old. A 30-year difference. He was 30 when my mom was born. And they met when she was 27. And some people would say that this only happened for her citizenship. You know, to get the citizenship, to get immigration, for us to be adopted. He legally adopted us to be Americans. Some would say that that's rooted in malicious way of taking advantage of the system to be American. No, this dude is 80 years old and is slowly disappearing. And my mom still loves him. My mom is there for him. My mom cares. My mom is scared. My mom hurts. My mom cares. I just, there's no other way to say other than it's love. And that's a 30-year difference. I'm not saying that every scenario is like that. Just like I'm not saying that every prostitution scenario is like the one I had. Or that anything that I'm saying is like the one I had. I'm just, that's my perspective. You know, I traveled around the world. I have done things. You know, I've been close to dying so many fucking times just out of, you know, just stupid shit. Whether that's in the military or out the military, I've blacked out so many fucking times. I've been drunk so many times in different places. I've made so many mistakes everywhere. You know, but at the same time, you look at this world and where everybody is, but I still have and I'm not saying this to brag, but I have money. I have way more money than the average American has saved up, because I knew the importance of financial education. And so I say all of this because, again, not to brag, but just, I undervalued my experience so much. And when I really think about it, it's, I feel like I've been exposed to way more than the average person has, which has given me just a greater understanding of things. And so I try to tell you, and I'm again, why am I proud? And I know I kind of go off of tangents, but I bring this all back because I'm scared of who I can become. And I'm very proud of how I handled this last love interest. A crush interest. I don't know. Probably wasn't love. Just this interest. It wasn't through an app. It was a real life communication between me and another woman. And now, after having that conversation with my friend about, you know, trying too hard or, you know, just pushing or whatever, I understand how I had some of those. I made some of those mistakes with this last woman I liked. I made some. I was overbearing. I was, you know, I chased too hard, and she was slightly older. And she was very smart and very beautiful and completely out of my league. And she was mature enough to notice my own red flags and kind of push me at bay. Rightfully so. But the biggest reason I'm proud of it is because it it almost helped reiterate the fact that like I'm lovable, I deserve the best, or whatever I think is the best, and I'm willing to go out there and get it, and I'm willing to fail for it, and I'm very proud about that, and I'm very proud of how I handled myself around her. I opened the doors for her. I bought her a book, you know, because and I got a book from her. You know, we invested in our different perspectives. I walked closer to the street. You know, I sheltered her from the cars as if someone was about to fucking run us over, and only I was going to save her because I stood closer to the street. You know, because those are just the things that I was taught were the right things to do as a Marine and as my mom's son. And I did. And I may have been verbally a little pushy. I'll admit that. But also because I'm willing to try to get what I want, and no means no until I get the no. And if I don't get the no, then I'm going to keep trying. And so I'm very proud of how I did not cheat. This is bullshit too. So I already talked about how I cheated and how I had another opportunity to cheat and I didn't cheat. And then I met this girl. Right. And I'm so sorry. And I'm so sorry if you're hearing this. And I'm so sorry. I didn't have the courage to tell you. And I don't. And that's it, you know, but I'm saying it somewhere, So, you know, it's the hardest thing that I can face, but it's also me trying to expose myself for forgiveness, you know? Anyways, I was still dating my ex-girlfriend at the time that I met this girl, and I knew that I wanted nothing to do with this girl, and I was very I was now more committed now that I had made a mistake and knew that I had done something that was worthy enough for her to leave me. Now it almost felt a little more I don't know. I just knew that I didn't want to fuck it up again. I cheated on her. I didn't do it the second time. And now I have this beautiful, intelligent woman in front of me that's way out of my league, who I have feelings for and who is also reciprocating signs of interest. And I sit 5 weeks on it. I sit 5 weeks on it, and I can no longer take it anymore. And I can no longer ignore this other interest. And so I break up with my girl. And the next day I go out with the girl I'm interested in, and I shoot my shot. And honestly, it was very beautiful. I thought it was beautiful. Like the story. Now I'm sure she has another story. I'm probably a fucking weirdo who is super obsessed, but I mean, this is just my side of it. You know, there's her side, my side, and the truth. And, you know, in the first week we were partnered up together, and she had to make a nap for me, and I had to make a nap for her, and I failed making a nap for her. But at the same time, I also succeeded because I just introduced her to the perfect app that was already out there for her. So failed, but also kind of succeeded. But anyways, I used this, it was a scheduling app to make scheduling easier for a group of people. And so it's called Doodle. And so I created a doodle for a Sunday hangout, you know, a Sunday fun day. And I had, you know, I was like, man, I'm very interested in this girl. We've been flirting for like 5 weeks. And so I had this Sunday fun day date created, and I just said, meet me at the Bean, because we were in Chicago. Meet me at the Bean, right? And it was so awesome because that's all it was. Like, I didn't text her. I didn't do anything. It's just, hey, sent her a doodle. She rogered up. She accepted. And then, you know, the next time I spoke to her was just when, you know, when you're like, hey, I'm here. So it was just like, hey, like, I'm on my way. And she was like, okay, cool. I'm almost there. And that was the only time we spoke. And then I saw her. I saw her sitting down on a bench. She's beautiful. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I've been asking everybody, you know, recommendations on how to tell this girl how I feel. And the recommendations I got from my OG black fucking Lyft driver was play it cool. Play it cool, brother. Work on your foundation, work on yourself, you know, tell her that you care about her, but work on yourself, you know, don't let her, you know, distract you. If she's really the one, she'll know. And so he was able to OG. He was my black father that night. He fucking, hey, keep it fucking OG. Handle this shit with finesse. This is what you need. I'm so, and he gave me his number. I got his fucking number. He gave me his number and he reached out. He's like, hey, hope it went well. And we were talking about how important it was to have these conversations, you know, have these conversations in our community of how to build each other up and how to be men. And he told me he said, build your foundation. I'll never forget that. Build your foundation. Cause she was running my fucking mind. And it was hard for me to think about school when just being around her on some Twilight shit. I was fucking disgusted with her on some Twilight shit. So get the fuck away from me. So goddamn beautiful. Smart. Fuck away from me. 6 feet. But my black Lyft driver, he reminded me to handle this with finesse. And I needed that. I needed that. I asked this lady on the train. I said, hey, I really like this girl. How should I tell her? And she told me, hey, don't be overbearing. Tell her that you're interested with her, but also let her give her room. And then my mom told me, don't tell her that you broke up with your girl because of her. And I'm like, damn, this is all good advice. And so now I'm on my way to meet her at the park. I'm on my way. I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous. I feel like I want to puke. Like, I'm shaking. And the whole time, I don't know if she could tell if I was shaking, but I was fucking shaking because I wanted her to like me so much. And I knew, and I had this conversation with Micah and my mom. I knew that it was just my story. You know, I'm not that guy that girls flock over, you know, just off of appearance. I'm not. Unless we're in the Philippines. And I told him, that's just not my story. That's just not how life is for me. And I told him, I'm telling you, this is exactly how it's going to play out. I am going to shoot my shot with this girl. I'm going to break up with my girlfriend that I love so very much, who I've never met a funnier girl than my ex-girlfriend. Never. She's the funniest, you know, girlfriend I've ever had, or just female friend I've ever had. And I say this because it was just this constant happiness that she would bring me. Right. I said that. Well, I don't know where I was going with that. Well, anyways, I see her at the bench sitting down, and I'm just so happy and I'm so nervous. And we start walking, and I had this idea plan. She told me that she was scared, or she didn't know how to swim, and it's Chicago, it's January, you know, we met at the bean, or we're over by the bean. And so they have the ice skating rink around there. And so it was my idea that I was going to I was going to take her ice skating because I was like, oh, that'd be cool. She doesn't know how to swim. This will be the first step of swimming lessons. You know, you got to learn how to walk before you can swim. You got to learn how to slide before you can swim, you know, on the ice. And also Jesus walking on water. Come on now. It just, I thought I'd be able to pull out some funny jokes with that activity. So that was my thought. I was going to take her ice skating and then I was going to take her to maybe lunch or something. And that was my plan. And, but it was too hot that day. It was too hot. I'm on my way to see now this story's jumping everywhere. I'm on my way to go see her, right? I'm on the train and I'm like, oh shoot. I'm checking the weather. The weather's like, yo, if it's above 50, we close down the ice rink. It was like 55 degrees. I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, oh shoot. If we're not going to do that, then like, what the fuck are we just going to do? Just walk around? And I'm like, no, like you gotta have a plan. You gotta have a plan. And I'm not a person that plans. So that's how you know how much I cared about this day and about this girl and about this day going well. And so I made a reservation. I hit up one of my best friends from the course who knows how to eat because I've seen him always have delicious food. I said, yo, what are some recommendations? He recommended some places around there. I called, I made a reservation. I didn't know what time we would ever be there. And so I just made a guess and I said, hey, reservation for two, blah, blah, blah. And so now fast forward again, I'm walking around with this girl and we're at the middle of this bridge. The middle of this bridge that I just love so much because it's such a unique bridge over at Millennium Park. It's like that glass spiral thing. And we're right there at the middle at my favorite spot. And that's one of my favorite spots in Chicago, just right there in the middle where you get to see the buildings on one side, the skyscrapers. But then on the other side, you see the traffic. And then at night, it's just nice, whatever. So we're right there at my favorite spot and we stop. And I tell her, I was like, look, I need to tell you something. And she's like, what? Not like that. She's like, what? And remember when I told you the story about old girl who needed to talk to her friends and comprehend, you know, the date that she just went on to just kind of figure out her emotions? Yeah, that's what mature people do, right? So this is what she did as well. And I didn't realize that until later when I had that conversation with my friend. But I told her, I was like, hey, you know, I'm listening to all the voices that have prepped me for this moment. My mom, the black Lyft driver, my friend, and that lady that was sitting next to me on the train. And I say, hey, I don't want to put too much pressure on this, but I want to be the man you need. And that was probably too much pressure right there. But I said, what I was trying to get is that I just wanted to see where things go. And I think that's how I ended. And I just want to see how things go. I just want to see if there's something here. And that was it. That's it. That's all I said. Silence. She's looking at me, silent, beautiful, in awe, but fucking silent. And I'm silent. And I'm fighting that silence. I'm like, don't fucking say anything. Don't fucking say anything. You said what you had to say. Don't say more. You say what you had to say. Don't say more. And she goes, I don't know what to say. And I say, you don't have to say anything. Because I saw a smile. I saw a smirk, a smile on her face. And that's how I knew I was in. I was like, yes. So we kept walking. I said, let's keep walking. And we kept walking and we walked, we made it to the restaurant. Everything worked out. We made it to the brunch. You know, she had no idea, but she also said something that was also a red flag. Is now that I look back on it too, and it just shows you where some people's perspectives are, and that's okay, you know, because she told me before that she had been in a very long relationship, like a 7-year relationship with her ex-man's, and how she was very unhappy for like 2 years, but she just stuck in this feeling of mundane and scared to let go So I understand where this is coming from. She said, do you really think that people can be together forever? And she's thinking, I can see her thinking about this because she's just confused because I just laid down this bomb and we're walking. I can see her just is trying to comprehend what's going on. And she said that, and it's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to believe because I had the same fucking, is it possible? I don't know, but I hope it is. And I hoped in that moment that it was her. But it wasn't, and it isn't, and hopefully it's still out there. And maybe it is her. Shit, that'd be funny. That'd be cool. Maybe someone else. I don't know. Maybe it was my ex-girlfriend. Maybe I did fuck it up. Maybe she's going to hear this, and now I'm forever going to be a fucking... That's forever going to be off the table. I don't know. But I'd rather live my truth than try to suppress it and hide who the fuck I am, you know? So she said that, and I remember I told her, I was like, yes. I told her yes. I almost froze, but the only thing that came out of my head was like, yes, because I have to believe it. I have to. It's the only thing saving me. I have to believe it. I have to believe that I can find someone out there that will make me happy, that I can also make happy, that we can grow, that we can help foster a community and serve and protect those around that we care and love about. I have to believe it because it's everything that I want. So we have lunch. And she's so impressed. She's like, oh my God. Cause it was a nice restaurant. And I didn't know it was going to be a nice restaurant. I knew it was going to be, it looked decent on the photos, but I didn't know. And she goes up to the waitress to talk. She's like, hey, can we get a table? And they're telling her that it's going to be like a 30-minute wait. And that's when Papa comes in and says, hey, I actually made a reservation. And she looks at me very surprised. And I feel very proud. I feel very, very proud because I did the things that I was supposed to do. I was a gentleman. I didn't cheat on my girlfriend. This time. I made that mistake, okay? I'm over it. I've made it. I'm sorry. I made it. And I know when you hear this, if you hear this, it's going to take you some time to think about it, but I'm sorry. But I've forgiven myself. And that's all I can do is try to be a better person. I'm sorry. But at that moment, I was very proud that I was doing everything right for the next girl. And I think that you can, I hope that you can appreciate that, that through my mistake with you, I made it right for the next girl. And I'm sorry I couldn't make it right with you. And I saw that she was impressed. You know, she was like, oh, wow, like you made a reservation. And I'm like, yeah, like I'm surprised too. and she, for the first time, she told me about herself. And I loved hearing it. I loved hearing about her because she's very reserved. She's very guarded in her opinion about, what's it called? Her opinion about, you know, is love real or whatever, you know, I get that. I get that from her past. I don't know what it is, but I feel it. I sense it in her soul. And I called her out on it before and she's been right. She's like, she's like, how'd you know my childhood was like that? Like, how'd you, cause I feel it. I see it. I see people for who they are, or at least I think I do. And I'm just so nervous. I'm talking too much. I talk too much, but I also did listen. And we had a good conversation. And we had an amazing, amazing lunch. You know, we didn't drink. She knew that she had been over for a podcast before. for a different podcast that had failed. And I had gotten the opportunity to speak to her for like 2 or 3 hours straight. And that was like the first time. That's when I for real knew that it was just more than a physical attraction. I was like, fuck, I need to see this. I need to see what this is. But it was, so she knew at that time that I had already not been drinking. And so, you know, at her brunch, we didn't drink. I appreciate her being okay with that or whatever, or just not making a big deal out of it. I don't know if it's a big deal. But I just opened up to her and my feelings and how I feel externally and internally. And something became very clear when I was able to speak with her, and maybe it was just 'cause she was listening and I felt like she cared. But it was this concept about external and internal consciousness, and how in the military, again, think about when I'm talking about confidence and how I act, like that's the way we're trained, is to already be so familiar and so confident with our ability to succeed that we don't have to second guess our gut, that we are trained to make the right decision, because they programmed us. They stripped everything from us and told us what was right and wrong. And then they put us under so much stress and they punished us for making the wrong decisions under stress. So that's what builds the confidence for that line of work where they don't think, because they just act. And so I was telling her how it feels so weird to be so in tune and so reflective of my emotions, because that was never what we did. Because we had to worry, all of our problems were external problems. Think about safety. Think about safety and protection. All of our problems were external problems. Is there an enemy attacking us? That's the concept of war. So everything is external. So that's why we're detail oriented. That's why I look at every situation that I'm in, because I'm analyzing the external world for threats. Because I'm so analyzing the external world, I neglect my inside. I neglect my mental state. And I was speaking to her that how coming from the military and now being in this user experience course, which was under, you know, the design industry, the design tech industry, that's a different mentality, 180 different mentality than the Marine Corps. These artistic people are coming from, they're so internal. They have this internal awareness of their feelings, because they're feeling everything to create and for self-expression. So they have to really take everything from the outside inside and make sense of it to create whatever their self-expression is. That's what art is, right? So these artistic people are coming from this place in themselves where they know themselves inside. And I've noticed that they have zero knowledge of who the fuck they're around. Like when I see them in class, or I see them on the streets of Chicago walking or whatever, they have zero awareness of the outside world because they're so internal. And so now I'm finding that balance. It's like I swayed. It's like that pendulum. I was so external in my consciousness, and now this course has made me so internal, as you can see through the whole beginning of this podcast. I've been so internal this whole time. And now I'm finding the balance between, you know, my sober, natural, driven self that believes in my ability to succeed. And now I can pair that and kind of balance it out when I smoke and I humble and humiliate myself and bring and control the ego, and I can reflect and understand and break down my decisions when I wasn't thinking, to reevaluate, adjust, recognize. So when I'm in that position again, I make the right decision in the moment without thinking about it, because I've already spent 3 hours thinking about it before. I put in the time to develop myself. I say this because, again, I say I'm so proud because I did everything right with her. Now, did I mess up on the dance, on this dance that we do flirting? Yes, I missed some steps, you know. The choreography was off, but I was there and I was dancing. And so we had this beautiful lunch, and I thought it was so funny because I know she's not perfect. I know she's got flaws, you know? I know she does. But she's just so beautiful that it's hard to think that someone like that does. And because I have had beautiful girlfriends before, and it, I felt trapped in their vein and in their beauty, that I prioritize their appearance over their character. So I've already made that mistake too. I made that mistake. So now I'm seeing this beautiful girl, but also a beautiful soul. And it's just, wow. Wow. It's different, but I know not to put them on a pedestal. 'Cause that's also, you know, how that's also not right. You know, they're just human too. They're also people. They're also flawed. And so I'm laughing because she has such good posture. She's a Chinese. No, I'm not going to give it away. She's something. She's Asian. She's a mix of Asian. And she has such good posture. And she's so organized. And I like that so much. And I think that's so attractive. Just like the way that she sits. She's so elegant. You know, she's not. She's a very conservative, but still sexy in the way that she dresses. You know, she's the most, probably the most mature woman I've been attracted to, and you know, was given the time of day of, which blew my mind because I'm a fucking idiot. But we had this, and I remember it was so funny. It was so funny because, again, I see her as this, you know, very disciplined, elegant person. And it was just funny to see the way that she would cut with a fork and a knife, because that was so fucking improper. Like, that shit was so off. That shit was like a child. You ever see a child use a fork and a knife for the first time? That was so funny, but so cute, you know, because it was like, oh, see, you're flawed. You don't know how to use a fork and a knife. But anyways, it was a really fun date. And now it comes to the time of, wow, I'm thinking about, I want to kiss her, you know, and I'm thinking about who she is, and I'm thinking about who I am and how I want this to go. And is there a right time? Should I kiss her? Should I not kiss her? I'm scared. I'm nervous. You know, I went to the bathroom. I came back. She paid. I thought that was very nice of her. And I thought, you know what? She's a very private person. She probably doesn't like PDA. I want to be very respectful in the way that I act around her. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to kiss her in the elevator. Now, looking back on it, probably also not a cool thing that I gave her no escape. Shitty. Looking back on it, I thought it was very sweet and sexy, but looking back at it, it also could have been just very, very, very rapey vibes as well. But I don't think so. I don't think so because I went in for, we're in the elevator. It's a beautiful elevator. I go in for the kid. I go in 90. I go in 90 and she comes in 10. And the butterflies are everywhere. And I think the butterflies are there, one, because I can't believe I'm kissing this beautiful girl. But at the same time, I'm just so happy that I have it in me. I have it in me to be loved. I have it in me. Like I deserve, again, I've said it before. I do deserve the best for me, and I can do that. And I can do that genuinely. And I don't need an app and I don't need, anything else other than me. Me is enough. And if it's not enough, don't force it. And so we kiss. I pull away because that's what you do. My black Lyft driver said, "Hey, keep it gangster." And that's what you do. You gangster, you pull away. If you're gangster, you pull away. So I pulled away like a gangster, and I'm riding a high. I can't believe that just happened. And I didn't want it to end. So now I'm just pulling shit out of my ass. I'm like, shit, let's go get boba. Let's go to a fucking library. And so now we're just hopping around fucking around Chicago and we get boba and we go to a library and we play a fun game at the library where we pick each other a book. And it was so fucking cute and it was so much fun. And at the end of it, I was like, you know what? I know I need to end this day before we get tired of each other. And then she's bored of me. I'm like, you know what? Let me just end it now on a high note. And so I end it, and at the end of the date I ask her, "Did you enjoy yourself?" And she said, "I'm mad that I did." And that brought me so much happiness to know that she doesn't want to feel the way that she felt for me that day, but she did. And you can't take that away from me. And that was enough. So I go home. I know the story is so fucking long, but there's a point to this. There's a point to this. I go home and now I'm like, oh shit. Like now I'm in. Now I'm in. So now the cocky, confident person is out again. I was like, now I'm in. Let's get it. So now I'm thinking, I was like, okay, so now how do I take it to the next step respectfully? And I'm like, well, I know she really cares about the school and I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I can't hide what I feel. And I say the truth. It's hard for me to lie. So I'm like, shit. So how am I going to do this? I can't be flirting with her at school because nobody, it's no one's business. And I'm sure I don't want it to be anybody's business. And I'm sure she doesn't want it to be anybody's business. And it doesn't need to be a thing because we're not children, So I'm thinking about how to be respectful and keep it private, but also continue whatever this was. And so I know that there's a secret room, not a secret room. It was just a room in the back corner that nobody really knew other than me, because I like to explore. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if we can, me and her work in this room together, and I'm going to try to lay down another move because I want to kiss her again. Right. I want to kiss her again, but we're in school. you know, she does, you know, I got to do my thing after school and she got to do her thing. So it's just, you know, I just wanted to continue seeing whatever that was. So the next day at school, we're in this, and this is so cool because like, it's a glass window and you see the city and it's just us two and we're in there and we're working. She's giving me feedback on my work and I appreciate it. And I'm listening to her feedback. And then as we were about to leave, I go in for another kill and it was so much fun. We made out and it was so much fun just for, you know, a brief moment. And I was so happy that it worked. And I'm like, yes. So it kind of like reaffirmed like, oh shoot, like this is for real, you know? And then like a gangster again, fucking bit her lip a little bit again and then pulled away like a fucking gangster. Don't push, right? Don't force. And that night it all came tumbling down, right? She said, hey, it didn't come tumbling down. She fucking told me something and then I just didn't accept it and I fucked it up. She said, hey, that was a fun date and you know, I had a lot of fun. I don't want anything. She said, I don't think we should do anything now, but I'd love to see where this goes after the course. Right. So that's ding, ding, ding. Hey, leave things light. That's what I should have read. What I heard was, hey, you need to show her that you care more. Fucking idiot. And so I think I pushed her away. I definitely pushed her away. Being too overbearing. And I know that now. But I say this because I shot my shot and I failed, but at no time did I ever force anything. At no time did I ever force her to come out with me. At no time did I ever force her to kiss me. At no time did I ever force her to do anything with me. At no time did I ever touch her inappropriately. At no time did I ever try to push anything further than it felt. You know, I actually took pride in being the one that backed off and controlling, you know, my temptation, because that's my biggest fear. Controlling my temptation in any sense, whatever your vice is. Mine just happens to be women and drugs. So I know I need to control it. And that's what brings me happiness is look at that story. There's so much happiness in that story because I did things right. You know, there was happiness in the last time I smoked because I did it right. And I earned it. I earned that relief of whatever that it gives me, whatever that positivity or whatever that high gives me, I earned it, you know. I've kept distant from it. You know, I've controlled it. I've set boundaries for myself. And that's been bringing me joy. It's like those vices, you can either fall victim to them or you can try to control them and use them responsibly. Or act responsibly with your vices. And so, again, I just thought that it was also very important as we continue discussing, you know, equality and relationships with women for their safety. I just saw a video of a girl getting kidnapped in broad daylight, which just disgusts me. And so I just thought that was very important too, is to say, hey, I'm the guy that the world needs to be scared of. I'm the guy that knows I'm capable of terrible things. I'm the guy that doesn't want to do those terrible things. I'm the guy that has been fortunate to experience so much of this world and to see the demise of so many good people before me fail. And so just know I'm trying. Just know I'm trying and it's hard. And you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. So hopefully love kills me. This episode is sponsored by Incubator. If you like art and you like couples who do art together, then make sure to follow Del and Victoria at Incubear, Incubear, to see them be a couple and do art together. Also, if you don't want to see them be a couple, then make sure to check out my boy's YouTube page where you'll just see him doing his own thing, which is also hilarious. And his YouTube is David Del. That's DavidDel.